We continue our learning. We nishmas David ben Menachem shemicham Yaakov bebiros Leo. We're in Adios Paragimel Mishnah Dalit. Kol hachotzalos tomeos tomei meis divir Rabbi Dosa. It says Rabbi Dosa, all chotzalos which are mats, rush mats, are tomei tomei meis. They're susceptible to tumas meis and other types of tumah as well. But not Tumas Midras. We mentioned Tumas Midras in the past. A Midras where we have a kli that people lie on or people lean on or people sit on can become Tameh, let's say, from an Ido from a Zav. So here Rabbi Dosa says these mats are, these Chotzolos are Tameh Tameh Meis, but they're not Tameh Tumas Midras because people don't typically lie on them. Why is it necessary, as the Bar Tanura says, V'yesh lehem safa saviv, they have a rim? Because in order for kli eitz, this is considered kli eitz, a rush mat, it's basically grows from the ground, like reeds and wood, etc. So they're not mekabel tumah when they're pshute kli eitz, when they're flat. Metal kli can become tame when it's flat. But a wooden kli, or in this case, these mats, reeds, etc., could only become tummy if they have a base kibble. They have its, there's a receptacle. There's some type of, it's type of container. So in order to be a container, the mat needs some type of rim, and therefore there's an inside to it. So says Rabbi Dosa, they're tummy, tummy mace, and other types of tummy as well, they're just not tummy, tummy midras. V'achachamim omim midras, and the chachamim say no, they're also tameh midras. The pasuk from Parsha Shmini, where we learn this halacha about kli eitz, the pasuk says, "Miko kli eitz obeged or suck ko kli asher yaseh b'malacha b'hem." So the Gemara learns that I'm supposed to compare all the kelim to a sack. A sack is sackcloth, is a sack that's made from goat hair. So just like a sackcloth is something that is carried and you put things inside, it is also something that's movable. So two things, for kli eitz as well, for in order to be mekabel tumah, it has to be where it's able to carry something inside. It has to be something that's movable. So for example, if you have something that is kept in place, or something that's very large, that you don't move, even though it may have an inside, it's not mekabel tumah. So that's the source, and that's why the chotzalos are tameh tameh meis, other types of tumah. They're just not tameh medras because we assume that people don't sit on them or lie on them, etc. The tumah of a zav, which we said can be metame things on the same level as the zav. He's an avatame, makes the mattress or the seat he sits on that makes it the same level of tumah. That would not apply to these mats. The Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Chav says that the chacham v'chachamim are medras, and the chacham said it is tameh medras. It's tameh medras, and it's tameh other types of tumah as well. So what's the basis of the machlokus between Rabbi Dosa and the chachamim? It seems that Rabbi Dosa holds that these mats people don't lie on or lean on, and Chachamim said that they do, and that's why they're tameh medras. So the Gemara qualifies this and limits this machlokus, the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Chav, that the machlokus between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim is not in all cases. If you have these mats, these rush mats, and they're made specifically to lie on, so that everyone would agree they're tameh medras, even Rabbi Dosa would agree. And if you have mats that's very hard that no one would lean on, so then everyone would agree that they're not tameh medras. The machlokus here is where we have mats that are generally not used to lean on or not to lie on, but they're also not hard, and therefore if people want to lie on them and sleep on them, they would be able to do so. So therefore Rabbi Dosa says they're not tameh medras. The Chachamim say no, people would recline on them, even though they're not made for that purpose specifically, and therefore they are tameh medras. This of course is found in Maseches Sukkah, because in Maseches Sukkah we speak about tzchach, and tzchach made out of mats, tzchach cannot be mekabel tumah. So we need to know, if you're going to use a mat for schach, we need to know whether or not that mat is mekabel tumah. It's mekabel tumah, cannot be used as schach. Then the Mishnah continues, kol haklios tahoros chutz mishel galgilon. All braided threads are tahor, meaning they're not susceptible to tumah, except those of galgilon, which is a braided belt. What's the difference between other clothing and a belt? So we go back to the original pasuk that we mentioned, mikol kli eitz o beged or osak. So we mentioned there, we speak about a beged. Beged means that something is woven. So anything that's something that's not woven is not included in that pasuk, and therefore is if it's kli, it's not mekabel tumah. And we compare it to a sock. So when Rabbi Dosa comes and says here that Kola Klios Tahoros, let's do, before we deal with the belt, Klios, where we have threads, braided threads, are Tahoros, because braiding is not the same thing. We have to have goat's hair is something that's spun. It's spun into threads and it's woven. So everything has to be like a, that's like a sack. That's the sack of the pasuk. So too, in order to be in the category of a beged, that means, which is a cloth, let's say, we're speaking about something that has to be spun and woven in order to be mekabel tumah. So when we speak about klios, they're braided threads. So this is something different. This is not something that is woven, but rather it's braided, and that's different than weaving. And that's why then I'm mekabel tumah. What's the galgilon? What's this braided belt? So the threads of the braided belt are mekabel tumah, because that belt is considered a beged. Why is it considered a beged according to Rabbi Dosa? According to some, the idea is because it's like a tachshit, it's like an ornament, and an ornament is going to be mekabel tumah even if it's not woven. That's one way to explain it. Some say that a braided belt is very wide, and there are many threads that make up the belt, and therefore it's similar to a piece of woven fabric, and that's why it may be different than anything else, which may be other braided items are very narrow, more like a rope, and therefore they're not woven, and they don't look like a woven bag, and therefore they're not mekabel tumah. But the belt is mekabel tumah according to Rabbi Dosa. V'chachamim omrim kulam tameos chutz mishel tzamarim. So Rabbi, the Chachamim disagree, and they say all braided threads are susceptible to tumah, except for those of the tzamarim, the cord that's used by people who deal with wool. So what are these wool dealers, what do they do? So they use a cord that's braided to tie the wool that they have, all the bundles of wool that they had. And those cords are not considered a beged, and therefore they're not mekabel tumah. But other braided threads, according to Chachamim, they consider a beged, even though it seems that they're not woven. Now, why should they be? Why should it be that we should treat these braided, these cords that are braided by the tzamarim, by the wool dealers, why should those be different than anything else? If once you're telling me that it doesn't have to be woven, that a beged is a beged, even if something is braided according to the Chachamim, so why should these be an exception? So one explanation is because they would use them not as a beged, they use them as chaval mez ropes. That's all they did. They would wrap the wool around in them and tie the wool, and therefore they're not considered like a beged at all. Even though braiding in general is considered a beged, here they would not be. And some say it's because they would put the wool so that the wool would not spread around, would not scatter. These klios would have holes in them, and the tzemer would the wool be would be placed through so that it wouldn't get lost, it wouldn't scatter all over the place, and therefore they have these very large holes. Therefore, it's not going to be considered a beged, even to the according to the Chachamim, and that's why the cords that are used to tie the wool, according to the Chachamim, even though they hold braiding in general is a beged, here the Chachamim say it would not be. Then in the Perek Gimel Mishnah, hey, Hakela. Speaking about Hakela, is a sling. So says the Mishnah, Hakela shebeis kibul shala arug tamea. If you have a sling whose holder is made of arug, woven cloth, it is mekabel tumah, it's susceptible to tumah. Since this is woven, so everyone would agree, even Rabbi Dosa would agree that it's Tamea. As we said, braided, according to the Rabbi Dosa, is not considered Mekabel Tumah, is not considered a beged, but something that's woven is. So this sling, which was used to throw stones, and there was a cloth or a leather holder that it had where you place the stone, had cords as well that was fastened to it, but because it was woven material, it's Mekabel Tumah according to everybody. Vishel or, but if it's made of leather, the holder of the sling is made of leather, Rabbi Dosa ven Harkinas Mitaher. He says leather is different, it's not woven cloth. And it needs to be considered a kli, not a beged, but rather a kli to be considered mekabel tumah. And he says, well, the holder that's used in the sling is not considered a kli. Why? So Rabbi Dosa says it's true. It has this base kibul, but none for the stones. But nonetheless, the whole point of it is so that the stones are thrown out of it. So it's no different than like using a stick to hit stones. And that's certainly not considered a kli. So therefore, even though there's a base kibble, but since it's made out of leather, it's not going to be mekabel tumah. But once again, the woven, if it's woven, it is. But if it's or if it's leather, it's not. V'chachamim mitamen, they say no, a sling with a leather holder is mekabel tumah as well. That is considered a kli, because after all, it's able to hold the stones. The fact that it's used to fling the stones out is not a reason why it would not be considered a kli. Then the Mishnah says, Nifsak base etzba shala. This is the end, at the end of one of the cords of the sling. This is where the person who's throwing the stones out, is flinging the stones out, he puts his finger. So it's a finger hold. That's the base etzba. But let's say that splits. So says the Mishnah Torah. Now the sling is not considered a kli anymore. If it was tameh, so it's now tahor, or if it wasn't tameh, it's not going to be mekabel tumah anymore. No different than if you have a kli, a chair, and now the whole thing breaks, so it's not mekabel tumah anymore. So that's what the Mishnah means. Nifsak beis etzba shala tahor, it's no longer mekabel tumah. Beis hapakia shala tameh. But if the cord that the person who's using it holds, if that breaks, the sling is still mekabel tumah. What's the beis hapakia? Says the Bar Tanura, beis hapakia habeis yad she'ochais bo. This is the part that you're holding on to of the she'misavei v'akela, when you move around, turn around the sling ba'avir in the air v'rotza la'hafkia la'shlicho even. And you want to be mafkia. That's where the word comes. The beis hapakia. You want to release. You want to release the stones from it, so they're thrown, they're flung out. So it says the Mishnah here, if the beis hapakia rips, so that doesn't matter. It's very easily replaceable, and therefore the sling doesn't lose its status as a kli if the beis hapakia rips, and therefore tamei, it retains its status of being susceptible to tumah.